Hey, y'all. You were listening to the All Day Ruck Off podcast, number 53. All right, y'all. It is Bomber here, and I'm taking over the All Day Ruck Off podcast today. And I do have a special guest that I'm allowing to get on the show named Brian Lohr. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Bomber?
Doing great. Is this your first time on this podcast?
First time as a guest.
Awesome. Well, I'm honored to talk to you today. Man, this particular podcast is number 53. And earlier we spoke, I wanted to call it 58. We already talked about that, but it's 53. Can you please tell us why? What the significance of this being 50, the number 53 is to you.
Yeah. So this is the 53rd episode of the All Day Ruck Off podcast. And my first GORUCK event ever was GORUCK Challenge Class 053. So this not only marks the first GORUCK Challenge I ever did, but it's also the 1 year anniversary of starting the All Day Ruck Off podcast.
That is awesome. That is really cool. And what city was that one in, your first challenge, and who were the cadre?
That was in Seattle, Washington, back in 2011. And my first cadre was Brian.
Was Brian awesome? It is crazy to me how time flies, because my first event is when, same with you, that only had the Tufts at the time, was in 2012. And I look back and I see, like, it's crazy that GORUCK has been around that many years. And, like, how many people now? There's over, I think around 21,000 people on the Tuff page, which is just incredible to me.
Yeah, it was a small group back then, 2011, 2012. I feel like you almost knew everyone who was in the group at the time.
For sure. It was an incredibly small community. And it's cool to me too, seeing that there are a core group of people that have been around that long that are still on there. Some have kind of come and gone, but we still have a ton of, like, the OGs, as to say, that are still on there and are very active.
I love it. And I think it's telling of the community, right? That we've been around for a number of years now. And, you know, the people who were there at the beginning are still happy and having a good time.
For sure. And so this is the 1 year anniversary of All Day Ruck Off, the podcast?
Yes, this is going to be the 1 year anniversary on the dot, pretty much, of starting the All Day Ruck Off podcast.
Nice. And man, what made you, or what brought you to coming up with All Day Ruck Off and starting? Because you've got a cool site. You do tons of reviews. You have training, ARs, of course, the podcast. You have the YouTube channel. You also have a store. How did it come about? How did you think to do this?
It was definitely organic. When I was training for my first event, I couldn't find any information out on the website about GORUCK. I think there was an AAR on ITS Tactical and maybe a couple others that were floating around. And I couldn't get any of my friends to sign up for that first event. I got one friend to sign up, and he didn't show up. So that was fun.
Yeah. It is. I remember the only thing I found back then was there was a YouTube video in Philly, and it was maybe a couple of minutes long. It was shot with a GoPro, and it just had music with it. And that was the only information I could find. And I think there was, like, one podcast interview that I had found with one of the cadre on it. And other than that, at that time, there just wasn't a lot of information. You kind of went into them blindly.
Yeah. I think that YouTube video, that was the one where they're running up steps, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I watched that one a number of times, just trying to figure out what was going on. So I wanted friends to sign. After I did my first event, I wanted my friends to sign up. And I still haven't gotten many friends to sign up. That's all right. So I created this website. It was really like a Tumblr blog at the time. It just had some information about events, and then it was what I was doing to train for my next event. And it just kept going and going, and then it kind of outgrew that platform. So I started a website, and it's just been growing ever since.
Is now even you have like a cadre locator where you can find out where a cadre are going to be and what events are going to be, what year and all that. How has that come along?
So those all came from questions that people have emailed in and asked. And so the cadre locator came when someone was trying to get, I want to say it was the Shredder patch. And they wanted to know, they said, I want to do events with Shredder because I want the cadre Shredder patch, but I don't know how to find cadre Shredder. And so I like problems like those that you can solve, you know, with technology or something and give people the answer they want. And so I ended up writing this thing that pulls a lot of event information from GoRuck and gets the cadre information and it updates it, I think once a day. And then it will hopefully help people find stock their favorite cadre. All of that stuff just came from people asking questions and sending in emails.
For having a need, and you met the need.
Yeah, that's just, I mean, what I've been trying to do this whole time is help people out. And so if people send in questions, requests, then I figure that's where the need is. If they're, you know, if they're going out of their way to reach out and ask a question, then do what you can to help them out.
For sure. With the, have you had a favorite, I know besides myself, on the podcast, who have you enjoyed most interviewing?
That's a tough one. That's a tough one.
I mean, because you have so many.
Yeah. Yeah. There have been so many different people on. I like talking to Blaine because he is very direct and I know he's done a lot of interviews. And so it's always fun.
Yes.
It's always fun to talk to him. And then I don't want to say polar opposite, but it's always fun to talk to Chris Way because we'll end up talking on the phone for 2 to 3 hours. And then I have to somehow cut that down into a chunk of content that people can digest. I think episode 50, I had nearly 5 hours of phone calls with him before it was cut down to a 2-hour episode, which is still super long.
Nice. For sure.
But it's always fun because Chris Way has been around for so long. And you just talk about the past and, you know, reminisce like old friends.
Oh, yes. Yes. And I noticed now you started like some of the Ruck clubs. You have started talking to Ruck Nuts, Ruck Club. And you talked with Brian Singlin about the heavy drop training. And I'll tell you, man, Brian is a truly nice guy. And I'm glad to see that training is blowing up for him. Are you actually partaking in the heavy drop training?
I am. Right now, I'm 3 weeks into heavy drop. And when this airs, it should be either the last week or I've just completed it.
Nice.
And it's awesome. It's a great program so far. I really like all of these programs coming out on how to train. Some of them are specific for GoRuck events and some of them are just for rucking or ruck events in general. But I think it really, you know, helps bolster the community and just provide more content out there. You look at other areas like OCR is the one that I can easily compare GoRuck to the most because it's kind of a fringe sport, so to speak. But they've got tons of trainers, tons of, you know, courses, tons of podcasts, tons of content around it. And so it's really fun to see rucking and the GoRuck community kind of grow similar to how those other newer types of sports and activities have grown.
For it's a lot when I worked in the oil field, the guys that I worked with, I go, hey, I'm going to do a GoRuck event. Well, they either thought it was a Tough Mudder or I was running a marathon. So someone would be going like, how'd your marathon go? And I would explain to them what it is. And they're like, oh yeah, running around. That's cool. It's crazy that GoRuck is in its own different. It's very distinct in what it is. It's not like a Tough Mudder. It's not like a, you know, some of the other OCR races that are out there. And the thing I've noticed, I think, is the best part of GoRuck definitely is the people, but just the community. And then looking like all the Ruck clubs All Day Rock Off. There's, you know, all of these that have come together because of Go Ruck. And I just, to me, Go Ruck has the tightest community out there, the best community of any of these type races. And I just, that's my favorite part of Go Ruck, is seeing how people come together. And you look at these ruck clubs and all the friends that you make and the people that you meet. And, you know, I like that a lot.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And that was one of the main catalysts for turning All Day Rock Off from just this Tumblr blog about Go Ruck into an actual website. It was sometime around my second or third event. The community, it was, I think, in 2012, possibly into 2013, the community was expanding, you know, pretty well. They were getting more cadre. At the time of my first event, I think it was just Jason and Brian running Go Ruck events. And so there were more cadre coming in. There were more people coming in. They were running events in more than one city a weekend. That was the other thing from back in the day, is that it was every weekend there was one event in one city. And you kind of had to track Go Ruck around the country. And now there's 10 cities on a weekend. You get, you know, a special events weekend, and you can have just a ton of events going on. So the community was really starting to grow. And I just wanted to, you know, let everyone know how awesome of a community this is, and kind of lower that barrier to entry to do the first event, because I feel like there were, you know, I couldn't get my friends to sign up because they had no idea what was going to happen. And that's part of the fun, but they thought they were going to die out there. They're honestly afraid that they're going to die at this event, because the old Go Ruck website made it sound like you were going to die. So,
oh yeah. It was exciting to me after I did my first event in New Orleans, and back in the early days in, you know, 2011, 20, it was all major cities. And about a month after the event, I was like, man, I'm not doing another one of these. And then here they go, and they have one in Shreveport. And I was like, man, Go Ruck, I have to do one here. So I think with Go Ruck growing and expanding, to me, it was cool because it brings it to a lot of people's cities. And now, like, there's ruck clubs that'll do custom events in the smaller cities like that. So people get to see what Go Ruck's about and not have to, you know, they can do it in their home court. And I think that's really cool. But my favorite thing to do is go and do an event that's in some place you're not familiar with, and meeting new people. And then every time I've done, with exception of one scavenger, if I do a scavenger, or like even at Constellation, I try to get on the team with people that I don't know, and just like meet new GRTs and hang out with them. And that to me is pretty awesome.
Agreed. One of my favorite things about doing events is talking to people who it's their first event, and trying to figure out why they signed up for this. What made them go to the Go Ruck website and say, yes, this is what I want to do. This looks like a great idea.
For sure. And I found out about it off of the Tough Mudder website. I'd signed up for a couple of Tough Mudders, and then they had a little video down at the bottom of the site. And I looked at that, and I signed up right immediately. I was like, this looks great. And then, you know, went on trying to find more information about it, and it was more of a surprise. But it just crazy. You know, heard, you know, people that have, like, they met Jason out or saw an event, and that's how they, it's cool to hear all the stories of how they found Go Ruck and come up with, you know, and then signed up and actually did it.
It's funny how well that Tough Mudder partnership really helped out Go Ruck at the beginning, because that's how I found out about them as well. I was at the Tough Mudder page. Tough Mudder wasn't even coming to Seattle. I was like, all right, that's fine. And then I saw that link to Go Ruck, and I went there, and Go Ruck was coming to Seattle. And that's how I found about Go Ruck.
It was cool. They were, I guess, in 2013 or so, a bunch of Shreveport GRTs. We all went over and did one of the Tough Mudders in Austin, Texas. And we just had a blast. And it was cool because it was the first time I had done one with my ruck own. And just having, and, you know, I mean, you know, back in those days, you didn't see GRTs like you do in the airport and stuff. Like, it was very rare to see one out in the wild. and doing that and having other people wearing their rucks and them, you know, going like, go yelling, go ruck at you. That was really cool because it was the first time that I didn't do an event, but was out at another event or doing something else and having someone yell that. And man, it's really cool. We, you know, now you can ruck almost anywhere and, you know, half the time someone's going to yell, go ruck at you because they know what's going on or they know you or know about the events. And that to me is pretty cool when people yell, go ruck, because that's a little bit different with the training on this, because with other events, people aren't so much going to yell, you know, hey, tough mutter someone. And that part of that again, to me speaks to the it being a family, you know, being a GRT that you have people yelling, go ruck at you.
Yeah. It's definitely changed quite a bit. I mean, back then you never saw anyone at the airport. It took me years before I saw someone with a GR1 that wasn't someone that I knew. And now,
for sure,
I mean, you run into them at the airport, at a bar. It's awesome.
Oh yeah. I do love the airport posts. And again, anytime I say this, when people see GRTs in the wild, don't, if you snipe a picture of them, cool, but go up and introduce yourself and say hello to them. And we'll say go ruck.
Yeah, I think that's I think that should be a given. If you're going to snipe a picture, then you should give them the common courtesy of going and saying what's up before you post it in the tough group. And then they probably see it half an hour later. When they're getting they're getting on the plane and they see a picture of their backpack showing up.
Exactly. It is, because I've actually seen people, like, they were like, who is this GRT? And there's been a couple of times where I knew exactly who it was and I would tag that person. And they're like, hey, why didn't you say hi?
Yeah, who is that GRT? I don't know. Go ask them.
Exactly.
Chances are they're a really nice person and they would love to talk to you, just like you would love to talk to someone who randomly comes up to you and says, nice pack. What was your event?
That is exactly right. And I've also been surprised, and I actually sat next to a guy on one of my trips on a plane who had a GR1 and he had not done the events. And he said he had heard about Go Ruck, and he worked in IT, and he said, man, the bag, you know, fit perfectly for, I use it for work. And, you know, I was like, man, hit me up if you want to do an event. We'll take good care of you. So it's cool seeing people that buy the bags that, you know, don't do the events. But when I do find those folks, I always try to encourage them to, hey, come do one. You'll love it.
Yeah. I ran into someone, I want to say 2 years ago, on a plane who had a bullet, and I started talking to them and I asked them about their first event, and they said, you know, this worked perfect for travel, because it was a great tearaway bag and he hadn't done an event. And so I think I might've sold them. I either sold them on an event or I scared him away completely. Not sure.
Yes. It usually goes one way or the other with that.
Yeah, there's no middle ground. No one's out there saying, yeah, those GORUCK events they're all right. It's either things are the best or that is the worst thing in the entire world.
Exactly. One or the other. Wait, I did want to ask you, man, tell me a little bit about charity challenges and how that came about and how that's doing. Because it seems y'all have raised a ton of money.
Yeah, so charity challenges was born between a metal forger and myself. And there was this Twitter post, a conversation, I guess. I don't really know what you call Twitter conversations, but a couple buddies who have done GORUCK events and I were back and forth about a pull-up challenge and trying to get better at pull-ups. Mm-hmm. And so we set up this pull-up challenge. Someone donated their time and made a design, and we ended up having these patches made, and it was all sold through the All Day Ruck Off website. Yeah. And then that went on for a while. And then Kirk reached out and he said, I really like what you've got going on with this pull-up challenge, but it kind of seems like it's, you know, plateaued. What do you think about working together and making something big? And I always like making things. So I said, sure, why not? Let's see what we can do. And that guy could hustle. he nearly brought All Day Rock Off to its knees the day that we launched that pull-up challenge, when we relaunched, I guess, him and myself. I think there were 500 registrations the first day. We blew through all the patches we had. It was nuts. I did not expect that kind of turnout at all, which was wild. And so we ordered more patches. We kept selling registrations. And we ran it through the All Day Rock Off store for at least one event. And then we were talking about it. And we're like, we've got something way bigger here. Like, this needs to be its own thing. And so that's where we came up with the idea of charity challenges, because we wanted to run these virtual events and, you know, raise money for charity.
And y'all raised over $100,000.
That's true.
That is amazing.
It's crazy to think about. It's crazy. And I really wish Kirk was still around to have seen us hit that six-figure mark. His wife is still heavily involved. And so obviously she saw those donations go through at the end. But man, I wish he was still here to see that. He would be blown away.
For sure. I think doing this, whatever, is also, it's a great way to kind of honor him to continue doing this. And I was looking like at the amounts raised about how much it has gone up each year and then what you do. And that's a really, really cool. It's a really cool thing to do.
Thank you. Yeah. It's the big one, the big event we have is the 1,000-mile challenge. And that was one that he always wanted to do. And we didn't start it until after he passed away. And that was kind of like what spurred it. So I was like, Kirk wanted this done starting, you know, 1/1/2017. It's like, I'm going to make this happen. And it did. And it raised a ton of money. And then we've got the seasonal challenges now. And the plan is to have a yearly memorial challenge as well for Kirk. And we've got some good ideas. Just need more time to implement.
For sure. I always ask this when I talk to, and keep up the good work there. That is absolutely awesome. It was one of the things, like, just looking at that and seeing where the money goes and how y'all have done it, is really, really cool. So I hope it continues to grow and you continue to help folks. I want to ask you this. What is your favorite Go Ruck bag? And what color is your favorite Go Ruck bag?
My favorite specific Go Ruck bag is the first ever GR1 that I bought back in 2011. That is still kicking. That thing, I try and give up on it. I try. The dimensions have changed a little bit since those original runs. The wire dop doesn't fit in it. Like, I've got newer GR1s that by all intents and purposes work better for my needs, but I cannot give up that old bag. I brought it for a work trip a couple weeks ago. I don't know. There's something emotional there. Speaking about not specific rucks, my favorite pack that GoRuck makes is the GR1, the 26 liter.
Yes.
It is so versatile. I can use it for my work bag. I can use it for weekend trips. I can use it for going to the park. I'm a tall person. I'm 6'2". And so it might look a little large on people who are shorter. My wife is like 5'3", nearly 5'3". And so it looks fairly large on her. But, you know, it's a great everyday carry bag for me. And I just keep going back to it. I've got at least 24 backpacks here in the office right now. And I always go back to the GR1. I've got bags from Triplot Design, Tom Bin, tons of other companies. And the ones that I always go back to, it's always the GR1. And then for color's tricky. I really like the Wolf Gray. I really like the Ranger Green, the foliage.
Yes.
Black just looks the best. in my opinion, it looks the best, and it, but it also attracts the dog hair like crazy.
Oh yeah.
And so there's, I think there's dog hair in some of my black rucks that have, you know, I try and get it out, but it's always back. It's always back.
Mine, you know, I actually had to get replaced. It had finally died on me, and I kept it at my desk here for about a week, and finally SP came and goes, it's time. So made me a great little dop kit out of the front of it. But I got another black one to replace it that I've done. I did the family reunion light down in Austin with it, and I've been rucking with it and getting it broken in. But it is crazy how that black after time too will kind of start getting that gray hue to it, or from washing it and all that. And I've got another jar one in the woodland that I usually use as my EDC. And I agree, the 26 liter jar one to me is like the perfect bag. It fits everything I need in it. It's not too big. It's not too small. And I mean, it's just a really good looking bag. And I love the simplicity of it.
Yeah.
And I don't have one, but I'll tell you, one of my favorite colors is, the Java color. That's a good looking ruck. And there are a few others out there. Black multicam that just come out is really cool looking. They have some, there's been some pretty cool colors out there, but I still think my favorite is just the basic black ruck.
I hear great things about steel. I hear great things about the black multicam. But there's something about the way the black rucks fade after events, and they kind of just get that worn look to them. You can see what a brand new GORUCK bag looks like. And if you compare it against, you know, sitting right next to a bag that has gone through a couple events, it's been used on, you know, 100 miles of rucking, you can just see how it feels and looks a little more worn and like it's been loved and has been on an adventure.
Yes, sir.
And so I've got a new Rucker 2.0. I bought it the day they came out. It's in black, obviously, because that's the only color that they had when they first came out. But I've been using that thing for heavy drop training, for rucking, for a number of events already. And it's starting to get that look to it where it's like, this is an event bag. This isn't just a, you know, a carry-on or an everyday carry bag. This bag has seen some stuff, and I love that.
And just the way it fits and feels, it does. It has that worn look to it. It does. The more you use them, the better they look. And it is when that black kind of starts to fade on it. It's like a favorite pair of jeans. It just gets better the longer you wear them, the longer you have them.
It is. It reminds me a lot. This is kind of going off on a tangent a little bit, but it reminds me of raw denim, where,
yeah,
you know, like nice jeans where you buy them and it doesn't have the pre-fades or the pre-presses or any of that, you know, stuff put in at the factory. It's just a straight pair of jeans. And then after a year or 2 years, it's got, you know, it's got the creases where your wallet sits and where your keys are and where your phone is. And it looks like a pair of jeans that are, you know, they're built for the person who wear them, just like that ruck that you train in and use all the time. I mean, the shoulder straps conform to you, the back conforms to you. There's almost nothing more comfortable than putting on my original GORUCK bag. It just, I've taken that thing through a dozen events, and the way it just conforms to my back and my shoulders, it's nearly magical.
Yes. I know it is. We've talked about this before, you and I, about how you build that relationship with your ruck, and especially that first one. And it is, they get to where they fit you and it feels like a part of you when you put it on.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like it's just like another part of me right on my back when I slip that thing on.
Well, I did want to ask, do you have the Star Course on the list of things to do?
I do. I'm officially registered for the Star Course in Seattle.
Nice. Have you kicked off your training?
Kind of. I did a 6 mile ruck yesterday as part of heavy drop, but I'm getting a training plan together And I'm talking to people who have completed the STAR course. And this is the 53rd episode, the 51st episode, which hasn't aired yet. But by this point, based on numbering, it should have aired, is with one of my buddies, Mike, who completed the STAR course. And the 52nd episode should be with Ava, who completed the STAR course with a super heavy ruck. So hoping to take some of their knowledge, and hopefully the weather's better in Seattle.
Yeah, that I was there as for support in that at the one in DC, and man, that rain was absolutely brutal. I think that affected a lot of people more than they thought that it would, especially going down the CNO canal for so long.
Yeah, that's just a mental kicker right there, because it was it 16 miles up?
Yes, and then back, and then the rest of the course was actually in DC.
Yeah,
but it was dark. You know, that's a narrow trail through there, and with the trees overhanging, and with the rain. And there were not really, it all looks the same. So there weren't really any, besides the aid station, there wasn't anything to really look at to go, well, hey, there's an obstacle. We'll march to this building. We'll walk to this landmark. It was just trail and trail and trail.
It's such a mental battle. It really, really seems that way. And it's something that I've never experienced at 50 miles, but when you're doing rucks that are longer, when you get past that 10 to 12 mile mark, especially if you're not in a spot where you can, like you said, pick out landmarks, like I'm just going to ruck to this block and then breathe for a second and walk, you know, ruck another quarter mile and take a breath. When you don't really have anything to point out and say, that's where I'm going, it just becomes something that feels like will never end.
Are you going to up your mileage training, or kind of are putting in more miles, or what do you think is the most mileage you'll put in while you're training for this?
I think the most mileage I'll put in during training is somewhere between 15 and 16 miles for an individual ruck.
Yes.
I think that's the sweet spot. I've looked into, and I have friends who do 50 mile runs and do 100 mile runs. And the big thing is that the people who are out there running 100 miles, when they're doing their training runs, they're not doing a 100 mile training run. You know, they build up and they get to whatever their mile number is, but it's nowhere near 100. And then when they get out on the day to perform, that's the day that they actually do run 100. So I think if you can get to 15 to 16 miles and you can feel good afterwards, I think that's a good spot to be at. And I think a lot of it is just going to be staying ahead of your body, taking care of your feet in advance. You know, don't look into foot care when your foot's already bleeding. Stay ahead of everything. I kind of compare it to driving a car, where if you're rucking 50 miles, I mean, maybe it's like driving your car 50,000 miles or something. You know, you're not going to start changing the oil when you're 25,000 miles in and you're saying, hey, this car's not running, and you know, you haven't changed the oil yet, and there's a ton of other issues that have happened because of this, and you haven't, you know, tuned anything in that 25,000 miles. Like, you're changing the oil every 3,000, 5,000, whatever miles, and there's no problems yet, and you're doing it so that there won't be any problems in the future. And I think that's important with your feet. I mean, you just got to be looking after them every 5 miles, 5 to 10 miles, and make sure everything's good so that you're not walking on bloody stumps 25 miles in. You still have 25 to go.
That's right. I did a live feed on the rooftop at Index because there were so many people with their, with their shoes and socks off, just kind of like looking at the damage they had incurred. And man, yeah, I just wanted, I focused, the whole live feed was nothing but going from people like looking at their feet, asking them how they felt. And because I wanted people to see that, man, at 50 miles is not a joke. I know we've got, a lot of ultra runners on the Tough page that do, the century runs and, 200 milers and all, but it's a different beast when you've got, weight on your back and you're actually rucking this, and especially with it like in the rain like that, and just, you know, I want to show people like, hey, take your foot care serious when you do this event, and make sure you have been taking care of them. And it was just, man, there were some people up there that their feet are going to hurt for a good while.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can't, I mean, when I was talking to my buddy, he was saying that when they got out the first couple miles, people were trying to dodge puddles. And after that, you know, they realized that they couldn't anymore. So people were just wading through water. And that just has to take such a toll on the feet.
Oh, yeah. And it was crazy because it was just, man, it was raining so hard at one point. There was just no way to keep your feet dry or anything dry.
Yeah. And I guess at that point, you just have to, you know, shift the way you're thinking and say, my feet are going to be wet. That's a given. Like, just completely forget mentally about keeping your feet dry. This is now an event where my feet are going to be wet and I'm rucking 50 miles. What do I do to take care of wet feet?
For sure. Well, have you got any plans for any other Go Ruck events coming up? Or what has been your favorite Go Ruck event? Are you a purist, like Where the Tough is your favorite? Or are there other events that you said, I like this a lot?
I love the Toughs a lot. I think it's the people who show up for Toughs are definitely different than the people who show up for Lights. And I feel like you can almost walk your way into a light in some regards with minimal training. But I feel like with the Toughs, if you're signing up for a Tough, then you're committing to something hard and something that you're going to be up all night for. And so I think it takes a special kind of person to say, yeah, I'm going to forego my entire night's sleep. That's fine. I'm going to stay up all night rucking with these people who I have no idea who they are. And yes. I think people who get that thought in their head and say, this sounds like a good idea, those are people I like hanging out with. And so I love the Tough events. I like Constellation. I have a ton of fun at them and I learn a lot, but there's nothing like a good burger after a Tough.
That's exactly right. I when Blaine, who did his first Tough down at St. Augustine, it was led by Surf Hog. And Lee, myself, and his roommate Bradshaw drove down there and brought him beer and donuts at the end. And I just remember like seeing them grab those donuts and just kill the donuts instantly. And then all of them are like, you know, hey, let's go get some more breakfast. Let's go get some food, whatever. But yeah, whatever you eat after a Tough is like the best tasting food ever. Or if you, you know, have a beer at the end of it, you're like, man, this beer is fantastic.
Yeah. And you don't feel any guilt at all. If you're someone that is listening and there's some meal that you want to try, but it's like 2000 calories. And so you've told yourself, oh, I can't have that because it's like a peanut butter burger with bacon and onion rings or something crazy, go do a Tough and then eat it because you'll feel no guilt or shame about eating
exactly.
Everything.
You'll definitely burn those calories during the Tough.
Yeah. Yeah. That stuff. I mean, you burn through a ton at those events. Man, I'm excited just talking about it. I want to do another Tough.
That's right. That's right. One of our newest employees who works in marketing, he is doing his first Tough. Lee's going to go up there and do it with him in Charleston this weekend. So I'm about to send a little talk to the cadres and make sure he gets a little bit extra love.
That's a powerful position you're in there. You've got the contact info for all the cadre.
I am very careful of how I use that. It's I've got a couple of my friends that I'm pretty tight with that I'll, you know, send them a little love or whatever, but I don't abuse my access to that.
That's good. That's good.
And usually I like that. I'll call them out on the Tough page too. So he'll have a post coming sometime today.
I'll be on the lookout for that.
Well, where do you see All Day Ruck? What are your plans for All Day Ruck Off? Where do you see it going? Because you've done such a fantastic job with the podcast, the gear review, training. I mean, you have like a YouTube channel. What else do you have? You have Instagram, Pinterest. of course, Facebook. You're all over the place out there, and then have a very nice website with a store and everything. Or do you have any other plans or any other goals for All Day Rock Off you'd like to share?
I want to just keep furthering the YouTube channel right now. That's the current goal. Mm-hmm. Recently moved to a new house, and so it's been tough to get the new office organized and set up in a way that's video capable. But I'm actually going to be building an office, which is exciting. And we'll definitely be catering it around shooting videos, recording podcasts, doing in-person podcasts, and that kind of, you know, good stuff. So I'm very, very excited about that. Definitely trying to keep up on the All Day Rock Off store. I've got a lot of ideas on stuff that I want to get listed in there. But it's just, it all comes down to time. You know, if you work on one thing, then you don't have time for something else. And so between charity challenges, All Day Rock Off, working, all that stuff, it can be tough to find time.
Also, I'd like to ask this as well. What is your favorite beer?
That's a good one. So I prefer IPAs.
Yes.
I do live in north of Seattle, and we have a ton of IPAs out here. I feel like that's all anyone brews anymore in the Pacific Northwest is IPAs. Elysian Brewing has this IPA that has a tiger with the laser shooting out of its eyes.
I have actually had Chuck that works here at Go Ruck, move from Seattle when we shut down up there. And he actually has given me one of those, and it is really, really good. And I saved the bottle because that label is so cool.
It's awesome. I don't actually remember what the beer is called. I just call it Laser Tiger beer because that's,
same.
If anyone from Elysian's listening, you should rename your beer to Laser Tiger beer because that's what everyone knows it as. But that's a really good one. And that's one that you can find around the United States. I don't think it's regional anymore. So I like that one. That's a good one. What's your favorite beer, Bomber?
I actually, in Shreveport, there is a brewery called Great Raft, and they make a dark lager called Reasonably Corrupt. And it's pretty cool. You know how we just talked about the laser eye tiger? There is a gentleman on the side of the can. It has a snake coming out of the top of his head. And what that represents is Louisiana politicians are reasonably corrupt. So that kind of goes in how like all our, you know, everyone that's a politician there is a little bit corrupt, but some of them are reasonably corrupt. So it's a really good beer, a little bit of chocolate and coffee taste to it, but it's not overdone because I don't like a lot of the beer. Like I like my coffee and my beer separate. I don't like them together, but it's my favorite. And I am a fan of the IPAs, and I'm fortunate here at Jack's Beach. There's a couple of local breweries that make some really tasty beer. And I know this is hard to believe, but we drink a lot of Budweiser up here.
No, you don't say.
No, crazy, isn't it?
It is. It is. And that's got its place too. I love a good Budweiser, but at the same time, you know, I don't want the same kind of burger every day. It's fun to switch it up a little, or the same meal. It's fun to try something new. And
that's right.
You're on Untappd, and I am too. And I've got, I remember when I hit 1,000 unique beers. That was a fun day. That was the only day that I ever did a Metal Monday post. You know, on Instagram, how everyone does like their hashtag Metal Monday. This is what awesome stuff I did over the weekend. I posted that, my 1,000th unique beer badge.
Your 1,000th beer? I really do love that app a lot. And it's cool to try. And there's sometimes, I don't know what my total is, but where I've had a beer and I'm like, oh, I've never had this before. Then it's like, oh, you had this beer a year ago. And I was like, well, I guess I have had it. But it is cool collecting the different beers on there and earning the badges and holiday badges. And it's a really cool deal because I've also compared it to Go Ruck, with getting the patches at the end of the event. I'm like, look, this is, you know, I've had five beers on the beach, so I've got a beach badge now. So it's kind of, that part of it is cool.
Because we needed another excuse to drink, right?
That's exactly right. Exactly right.
I didn't have enough reason before, but now that I've got this app, I've got a lot of reasons.
All right. So you usually do a weekly podcast, correct?
Yes. And I'm excited to say that I have not missed a week. I think that's...
That is awesome. And where can people find these podcasts?
Everywhere.
And can they share them? Everywhere.
Yes.
That's how, look, you are all over on social media. And like, have done such a great job with the website and everything. So do they go, besides the site, are they on iTunes and other formats?
iTunes, Google Music, all the Android apps should have it on there. I'm not sure if it's actually the one place I'm not sure about yet is Spotify. I would need to check that because when I was submitting to Spotify, they had recently paused their whole submission process because they were rewriting on the back end how they were handling podcasts. So I'm going to have to revisit that one. So it can be found everywhere with an asterisk at the end. And that asterisk is
nice.
Spotify. So yeah, it's, and then alldayrockoff.com/podcasts. And it's got all of them right there as well.
Well, Angel, you do get to review some really cool stuff. I know you do other gear besides Go Ruck, but getting to do, you know, just check everything out is really cool. And we appreciate all that you do for Go Ruck, man. You're truly a great ambassador. And it's, you know, we appreciate it. I know today, I think Kit was a little bit jealous when I was telling him about this, you know, the significance of this particular podcast, the number and all that. So I enjoyed kind of saying, ha, 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 he picked me.
Man, I love Kit. I love Kit to death. That guy is awesome. It was...
He is, and he has his hands full because both Lee and I report to Kit, and I think sometimes he's like, what in the hell? But we have a good time. He's really awesome.
Yeah, he's such a nice guy. It was great having lunch with him last time I was down at HQ, and man, he's always fun to email with and just see how his family's doing. He's so positive.
For sure.
I like people who are very positive, and Kit and you know, pretty much everyone who I've talked to at Gorak fits the bill there. Everyone's just so happy. It's wonderful.
Well, it's pretty good. Man, Kit's a stud too. He does CrossFit regularly, and man, everyone kind of jokes with him that he's got the dad strength since him and his wife have had their son. He is a tough dude, man.
Yeah, kids will build that physical strength, but also that mental. I mean, sitting there through hours of crying, I mean, that builds a mental toughness barrier that is tough to replicate.
Most certainly. Well, man, I'm truly honored and thankful that I got to have this time with you and got to ask you some questions, and like letting me take over your show today was... Like, this has been a highlight of my week. I'm like every week we have check-ins on Friday with, you know, what all we did during the week. And this is at the top of my list of being on the podcast with you. And again, man, I appreciate you in the community, appreciate you as a friend, and just, man, I thank you personally for all that you do. We need more folks like you, Brian.
Bomber, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm so thankful that you're willing to do this. I wasn't sure if you'd want to do it when I reached out, but I'm so thankful, man. And thank you for everything you do.
Thank you, sir.
After Bomber and I finished recording this episode, we were talking about our first events, and I brought up a story from my first Gorak Challenge class 053. And the tape was still running. I got it recorded. And here's that story. I think you're going to get a kick out of this too. So When I did my first GORUCK challenge, 053, back in Seattle, the website, there was nothing on the website. No, you know, information about the events, no phone number. I don't even know if there was an email address. There was nothing on there. And so no one knew what to expect. I had an idea on the length of it, that it might be like 10, I think at the time it was billed as like 8 to 10 hours maybe, or maybe it was 10 to 12 at the time. I can't fully remember, but I remember, what I do remember is underselling it, because I knew my family and my girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife, would be incredibly nervous because there's nothing out there about this. And this was also when the event started at 6 p.m. So my first event was 6 p.m. on a Friday, and it finished at 8 a.m. on the Saturday. So it went, I think that's when it finished. It went, I think, 13 to 14 hours. And my wife at the time was working for Starbucks, and she was doing the opening shifts. And so she was up at 5:30 in the morning. She texted me and called me at 5:30 to see how I was doing, like how the event went. And obviously I didn't answer or respond at all, because I was at the event and you can't have phones at the event. And so she started getting nervous, and my parents were visiting family in Wisconsin. And so she called them and she asked if they had heard from me, and she ended up calling all the local hospitals and emergency rooms to see if I had died somewhere. She was worried to see if I had died and like the team had dropped me off somewhere.
It is funny, because back then I think it was pitched to like 8 to 10 hours, but I've got one of those t-shirts on it that said
under promise, over deliver.
Yes. And definitely, because ours, I thought, well, it'll, probably be right about 12 hours. And I think we went about 13 and a half. But then, no watch, so I didn't know how long and didn't know how many miles we put in. So it is cool hearing that y'all put some miles in for sure.
Yeah. That was the last time I undersold an event to my wife, because that was nearly the last GORUCK event I ever did. Came and picked me up. She picked me up at 8:30 or 9 in the morning. I ended up texting her. I was so beat. I thought I was just going to bus home. I thought that was a possibility after the event. I was like, yeah, after the event, I'm just going to get, out of Seattle, get on a bus. Ended up texting her. She came, picked me up. And the first thing she says, I get in the car, and the first thing she says to me is, everyone's pissed at you.
All the worry.
Yep. Yep. And it's so funny to look at how it was back then compared to now, because now, GORUCK's, I don't want to say a real company, because it's not like they weren't a real company back then, but there's employees, yeah. There's you, there's Kit, there's tons and tons of cadre, and it's more established, and it's like this thing people do. And back then, no one knew what it was.
I remember first too, when it was just, there was so very little information. And you just had to, show up and see what it was about.
Yeah, you just had to trust that you weren't going to be put into some van and kidnapped.
Yeah.
If you listen to us, Jason, we put a lot of trust in you at the beginning. Anyone who showed up to that event put a lot of trust in you. And thank you so much for over-delivering on everything.
Yes. Thank you, sir. I'm just stoked to be able to talk to you today. It's always a pleasure.
So that was episode number 53 of the All Day Ruck Off podcast. I want to give a huge thank you to Bomber Bash for being on and interviewing me for that episode. I received a lot of requests over the past year to have someone come on and interview me. I thought Bomber would be a great person to do that, because not only is he an amazing GRT, but he's also the community manager for GORUCK. So I reached out to him, we scheduled the time, got the interview done, and I didn't know what I was going to be going into when Bomber called and we recorded the interview, but I'm very happy with how it turned out. So Bomber, thank you so much for being on and doing that for me. I mentioned at the beginning of this episode that episode 53 is important because it was the first GORUCK event I ever did, GORUCK Challenge Class 53, and it's also the 1 year anniversary for the All Day Rock Off podcast, which is wild to think about. I know if you're trying to do the math, episode number 52 should have been the 1 year anniversary, but episode number 4 was actually a bonus episode that was released midweek and kind of throws off that week count where the 52nd episode should have been the 1 year mark, but it really worked out having those two dates coincide, 1 year anniversary of the podcast starting and the first GORUCK Tough class I ever did. I'm really excited about the second year of the All Day Rock Off podcast. Already have recorded a couple episodes and have some more interviews scheduled, so it's going to be another great year. Rucking just continues to expand and grow. GORUCK's bringing out more events. There's smaller companies bringing out some ruck events, so it should be really, really fun to watch what happens over the next couple of years. Finally, thank you so much for all of the incredible support over the past year. I really didn't know what I was going to be getting into starting the podcast. There weren't any other rucking podcasts at the time or podcasts focused on the rucking community. So went in blind, didn't really know what I was doing, and I've had a great time. Each podcast episode is downloaded thousands of times, which just blows me away that there's that many people listening. And I know numbers don't really matter much, because it's more the quality over the quantity, but it is nice to know that all the hard work that goes into this is being listened to. All of the guests spend an hour, hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours out of their day answering questions and being on the show. So the fact that people are listening, you know, giving them the time of day, it just speaks volumes. So thank you, the listener, so much for all of the incredible support. Without you, this podcast would definitely not be where it is. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I will see you in episode 54, where we bring back Stephen Mask to talk about GORUCK Expedition 6 and GORUCK Expedition 12. Don't forget, attitude is everything, keep yours positive, and drink hard, ruck harder.